As one, your voice may not be heard. As one in a million, your voice cannot be ignored. Rick Santorum's Patriot Voices stands with you for faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. Welcome to Patriot Voices Radio. This is your time to stand up and let your voices be heard.
Welcome to Patriot Voices Radio. It's great to have you here today. I'm your host, Dan Davidson. We have another great show for you lined up. Patriot Voices Radio is broadcast live the second and fourth Tuesdays each month at noon Eastern Standard Time. Today we have some great wrap-ups from the March for Life march in Washington, D.C. last Thursday. What an awesome day it was to stand up for life and along with over half a million people in the nation's capital. We're going to get a recap about our March for Life activities from last week, and we'll also have some clips and recorded messages from some of those who participated. There were over 25 states represented from Patriot Voices members that came from all across the country to participate in the March for Life. Later in the show, we'll also talk with Elizabeth Santorum to get her perspective on the march. She was there. And she also spoke at a Students for Life East Coast conference last Friday. And so we'll get her thoughts on that. She was also the co-author of Bella's Gift, the new book written by Rick and Karen Santorum, along with Elizabeth. And so we will get her thoughts about that. It's going to be coming up in print in just a week or so. So we're very excited about that. Senator Santorum is wrapping up a five-day trip to Iowa, and we were able to catch him yesterday for a pre-taped interview. It's always wonderful to check in with him, and we will play that during the show as well. In just a little bit, we're going to check in with Nadine Mayenza. She's the Patriot Voices Executive Director. She'll join us live to talk about some key issues that Patriot Voices are really focusing on this year. We're going to talk about the Keystone Pipeline. Senator Santorum spoke about that in his interview as well. We'll also talk about the 20-week abortion bill and, of course, Common Core. We'll listen to an excerpt from some of the comments that Senator Santorum made in Iowa about Common Core as well. Later in the show, we'll wrap up with our grassroots coordinator, Shelley Ollersmeyer. She's our National Grassroots Director. So we have a lot in store. Before we go any further, we have a special prize today. We'd love to give away a signed copy of Bella's Gift, the new book written by the Santorums that's inspirational. It talks about the story of their wonderful daughter, Bella. We'll be giving it away to someone through our Patriot Voices Facebook event. All you have to do is go to Patriot Voices Facebook page and click on the event and join the radio event. And here's how you can win. You go there, and then you'll be automatically entered to win after you join that event. It's that easy. We're going to have some winners throughout the show, so stay tuned for that. We'd like to get things going with our executive director, Nadine Mayenza. Nadine, welcome to the show today.
Great, thanks. It's great being on.
Well, hey, we really enjoyed getting together, and we were both there at the March for Life, and Patriot Voices had a great presence. It was an awesome time. Just kind of tell everyone about some of the things we did as far as with the breakfast, Patriot Voices. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, over 25 states are represented there. That was very exciting, wasn't it?
It was so much fun. I mean, I think we might have had over, you know, at one point in time, 400 people come and go, over 250 people at any given time at our breakfast at the March for Life. And it was, like you said, you know, 25 states represented. Age range was, there's so many young people. I think a majority of the people, you know, the march themselves are on the young side, the teenage, young adults, which is so encouraging to see our younger generation being willing to stand up and be heard. And so it was just a wonderful day for once. It wasn't 14 degrees, although it wouldn't have changed anything. We still would have had an amazing crowd. People are determined to come and have their voice be heard regardless of the weather, but it was a beautiful day, and it was just neat to see so many of the future being a part, joining together with all different ages. And as you know, Josh Duggar came to our event and spoke, and we really felt encouraged by the day.
Yes. We have a couple of interviews we'd like to share. And let me share this. I was able to just interview Senator Santorum. He was marching right alongside everyone there down Constitution Avenue up to the Supreme Court. Let's just share what he had to say as he was marching with other Patriot Voices members.
Marching with Senator Santorum, the March for Life. Senator, just share why you're here today and why you've been here many years.
Because every life matters, and we want to make sure that the folks here in Washington know that the truth isn't going to go away, that life is precious, is protected, should be protected by our government and our laws, and that until that is again affirmed in the laws of our country, we're going to be here to remind them of the huge injustice that goes on in this country every day.
We're marching with a lot of Patriot Voices members. What does that mean to you to have people of like mind here with all these people marching here on the Mall?
Well, it's great to have the banner here, the Patriot Voices banner, and so many Patriot Voices members from around the country. And I think we're recruiting a lot of Patriot Voices folks, too. A lot of people coming up and asking how they can help and join the team. So it's been a great day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great to hear that. It was awesome to have the senator and his whole family right there walking alongside everyone, wasn't it, Nadine?
It was. It was such a great moment, and I always appreciate the senator making this a priority on his calendar. Whether he's speaking at something or not, you know, he always, and him and his family, make it a big priority to come in and be a part of the march every year.
Well, we talked about some issues that Patriot Voices are really focused in on. And, of course, one is a pro-life issue, and it's the 20-week abortion bill. Tell us a little bit about what Patriot Voices is doing in that issue.
Well, right now we have an advocacy on our website. You can go to patriotvoices.com and send an email to your members of Congress asking them to support the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which would ban abortion after 20 weeks. And as a lot of you know, on Thursday, especially disappointing that it coincided with the March for Life, Congress decided not to vote on this bill that we had been expecting them to vote on the 22nd. And apparently there were some discussions of different people that were a part of Congress that had Congress that had some opinions on the exclusions in the bills, and so they couldn't come to a consensus. So instead, we are pleased that they did vote to eliminate federal funding of abortion. That obviously
right.
is huge, and we're so thankful for that. But we're still hopeful, of course, that this bill, which is H.R. 36, will make it on the floor of the House and get a vote after they're able to kind of regroup a little bit on this. But I think this whole process is just, you know, an important reminder for us, which is, you know, we have the majority now. You know, we feel like this issue is one that should not have been difficult, but yet so much of the time the loudest voices can interrupt a bill from being passed. So even though we have the control of Congress right now, it's just as important, maybe more important, that we call, email, make our voices heard on the issues that are important to us, even to our members that are normally with us, because they're hearing from the other
right.
side, and they may have a perception that, you know what, tide is turning, or there's going to be a big fallout on this, and, you know, my side isn't really paying attention or whatever. So, you know, we, Patriot Voices, you know, we do have this particular bill. You can go right on our website, patriotvoice.com. Just takes less than 2 minutes, maybe 1 minute, to send an email to your members of Congress. They'll email you back. And also, you know, you can call the Capitol switchboard. You can just Google the number. I'll give it to you now, 202-224-3121. Call your member of Congress. Let them know how you feel and make sure that they know that we're standing with them when they make some voices in some districts. Or some of these votes are difficult for some of these people, and we need to make sure that they know we're standing with them.
Absolutely. Some other issues I know Patriot Voices are keyed in on is the Keystone Pipeline. Tell us a
yeah.
little bit about that focus.
Yeah, another disappointment. The Senate Democrats blocked a vote with the first Senate filibuster of 2015 yesterday. You know, we needed 60 votes to end the debate on the bill and have a vote, and it failed on a 53-39 tally. So apparently some Democrats were frustrated with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell about a tense late-night session on Thursday where they say he prevented debate and votes on amendments for this. And so it was kind of some of their way of standing up and saying, you know, that they wanted They were unhappy with them. So, of course, there's all sorts of stuff going on that we only get to hear about after the fact. So out of the only – there were 9 Democrats who voted to start debate on this bill. Only 4 of them were with us at the very end. And I think some of them did not make it to the floor. There was weather concerns. Some Republicans didn't make it to the floor. I want to mention the 4 Democrats that voted with us on the Keystone Pipeline were Joe Manchin, Joe Donnelly, Michael Bennett, and Heidi Heitkamp. Those are the 4 that did you know, the good news is Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who's a Republican, and the Democratic floor manager, Maria Cantwell of Washington, they both are hopeful they're going to go back and try to regroup and see if they can do this vote again and do better on it. So, guys, we've got to call and email about this
Absolutely.
Issue and make sure that we get the votes on this one. You know, this is about jobs. We talk about security, not depending on the Middle East for oil. You know, they're all the things. So many of them that matter, really this Keystone Pipeline is important, and lots of good jobs that will be created getting this passed. So, again, patriotvoices.com, or you can call your Capitol switchboard and call your senators and ask them to stand up for us on this bill.
Well, we need 4 more votes, and that would be to override a potential presidential veto. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, so... now's the time to make our voices heard. And
also that would be to end debate and get the bill to the president, too. So we would need that even to get the bill to the president. Actually, I believe we need 66 to override him. So the key right now is to just get debate stopped, which is what the filibuster is. We need 60 votes to stop debate and have a vote on the bill. And then we can get a bill to the president, and we can start working on the president.
Fantastic. I want to play just a couple more clips from a couple of our state chairs who were at the March for Life. I mean, these are the people who are just kind of the anchors across the country. One is Joseph Joyce. He's from New Jersey. And then John Cox was there with his wife, Valerie. So let me just share. Again, these are people that are marching right there with Senator Santorum this last Thursday.
I am marching for life here with Joseph Joyce. He's our Patriot Voices co-chair from New Jersey. Joseph, why did you take a day off of work and come all the way down here from New Jersey today in Washington, D.C.?
Because nothing is more important to my wife and I than the sanctity of life. And it's an opportunity not only to march for a good cause, but it's an opportunity to show the world that we stand up for life. All life matters.
Amen. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Perfect. I have Daniel and Valerie Cox here from Maryland. It's great to have you. Tell us why you're here today.
We're here to stand with Rick and Karen Santorum and Patriot Voices for the Unborn. We're so thrilled and excited to actually have a great day today with the weather and to be here to speak up and be a voice both for the unborn and for so many Americans who want to see abortion end in this land, so we're grateful to be here.
We appreciate your leadership. Now, you're a co-chair in Maryland, is that right?
That's correct. We're excited, and Rick and Karen have started Patriot Voices to carry on not only the pro-life cause, but pro-family and pro-freedom, and we're very excited to see all of those issues be set forth and be advanced and advocated for by Rick, and I'm just distracted because I see him coming right now. So
yes, we're getting ready. Getting ready to march. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you.
And that was actually Daniel and Valerie Cox from Maryland. There, very exciting to see so many leaders at the march, wasn't it, Nadine?
It was such a great group of people. I was able to meet so many of our leaders and friends and from around the country that I had only been in touch with online and. It was really a wonderful day.
Well, one last issue we want to focus in on is Common Core. And Senator Santorum spoke about that this last weekend in Iowa. And he said, we need more common sense than Common Core. Tell us what Patriot Voices is doing to focus in on that issue.
Well, again, on our website, you can actually sign a petition opposing Common Core. But we're getting ready to get involved with some advocacy. And we're so pleased that David Vitter has introduced a bill called the Local Control of Education Act just recently, a few weeks ago, January 7th. And so what this bill would do is it basically does give you the way that Common Core is getting implemented in states around the country is over the past 4 years, the Secretary of Education, He's used a combination of waiver authority from the Elementary and Secondary Education Act and Race to the Top grants. And I know a lot of you have heard the Race to the Top thrown in there. And so basically what they've been able to do is withhold funding from these two bills to coerce states into adopting Common Core state standards. So if you don't, you know, if a state doesn't accept these standards, then they lose funding, which for some states is devastating, and it really puts the governor in a very difficult situation. So this bill would prohibit the federal government from mandating, incentivizing, or coercing states to adopt Common Core state standards or any other academic standards. So right now it's currently in committee, so it's not quite ready to go to the floor yet. We're going to be talking about more in the future, but, you know, it's really interesting to see how Common Core started with such a small little complaint here and there, and it really seems to be a nonpartisan, non-political, where you are on the political spectrum, it just seems like people coming in contact with Common Core are not having a good experience with it, whether they're teachers, education experts, parents. And so, you know, the senator is among some other voices that believe local control is best for our kids, in having the federal government tell us what to teach and then force us to teach it, even if it doesn't fit our communities, makes absolutely no sense and isn't good for our kids. So, you know, we're going to keep talking about this. The senator was one of the first to jump out against this.
Right.
Teacher voices jumped out right away, knowing that this was not a good thing, because the senator's always been for local control of education. So we're going to keep talking about this. We're going to be talking about it more. And, you know, if you haven't joined with Patriot Voices, you know, please jump on our website. You can sign up. And we'd love to talk to you more about even becoming a leader in helping us fight this.
Nadine, thank you so much for joining us. A lot of important issues we're going to continue to work all together for in 2015.
Great. Well, it was great being on. Thanks so much. And thanks all of you for being a part of Patriot Voices. We're so thankful to be fighting alongside you.
Thanks, Nadine. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Nadine Manzo, the Executive Director of Patriot Voices. A lot of things going on. As she mentioned, we'd love to have your involvement. You can go to patriotvoices.com, click on the Get Connected tab, and just you can tap right in to your state. You can also always email whatever your state is, Ohio@patriotvoices.com or whatever, and it'll go right to the directors. We've been sharing some audio clips from last week's March for Life in Washington, D.C. Over 500,000 people were there. The Santorum family was there. And our next guest is Elizabeth Santorum. And before we have her join the show, just want to share a clip that I was able to get from her as we were marching there together at our nation's capital. We're starting the March for Life here in Washington, D.C., and I'm with Elizabeth Santorum. Elizabeth, why are you here today?
Oh, well, my whole family, if you can check on all social media, each one of us did a sign for why all of us are marching. My reason today, I said, because being pro-life is being pro-women. It's not just about the babies in the womb, and obviously that's a big part of why we're here. It's for the mothers that are victimized as well by the whole process.
Awesome. Thank you for being here.
No, it's my pleasure. It's a much warmer day than last year.
Yes, it is. Thank the Lord. And yes, it was much warmer. We were very thankful for that. We want to welcome to Patriot Voices Radio, Elizabeth Santorum. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. It's great to be on today. How are you?
Well, it's great. It was great to see you last Thursday and be marching together. It was a lot warmer and very exciting to see that
really
many
was.
People stand up for the principles of life, isn't it?
Oh, could you believe it? I heard, you know, 500,000 people there. And, I mean, I know, Dan,
right.
You would have looked around and seen that, you know, I would say, gosh, it must have been 75% of them, you know, must have been under the age of 25. You know,
yeah.
It was predominantly young people, and that was really encouraging to me, you know, as a young person there that, you know, I've heard statistics that say, what is it, 80% of my generation is pro-life. And, you know, so if anyone is, you know, discouraged, you know, looking around and seeing, you know, I know last week was a bit of a triumph with the march, but also sad that, you know, the Pink Capable Bill was pulled. I think we were all disappointed about that. But just looking at the sheer numbers of young people now that are pro-life is just an encouragement to me. So I would just offer that to everyone as a source of hope.
Yes, and a lot of the speakers there before the march started were focusing in on that, and kind of with the message that, you know, we're the pro-life generation. And yeah, that's something that the media kind of hides, I think, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you pick up the Washington Post the next day, or the New York Times, or, you know, any paper in the country, you know, pretty much, and you know, 500,000 people march in Washington, D.C., and it doesn't even make the news. So, you know, it is frustrating that, you know, that these things aren't reported, and but, you know, we know who was there, you know, and that I think, you know, us carrying the messages back to our towns, back to our communities, you know, we really have to be our own kind of, you know, distributors of this message. You know, if the mainstream media is not going to get it out there, then it's our job, you know, programs like this and, you know, our own brands of social media.
Well, you spoke the day after the march on Friday at the Students for Life East Coast Conference. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what you shared with the group?
I did. Yeah, it was such an honor to be there. Kristen, you know, the president of Students for Life, is one of my heroes. She has a special needs son named Gunner. And so I really, she shared a little bit of his story at a speech before the march, and I was really moved by her speech. So I touched on that night, you know, and kind of in relating to Bella's story, you know, with the upcoming release of Bella's Gift on, you know, February 10th. And so just shared a little bit of Bella's story and my, you know, personal experience with that. But tied it in with Gunner and said that, you know, how much of, you know, what we're moved by, you know, as humans is stories, or, you know, is the power of stories. And so I just encourage students to, you know, not just kind of share the statistics, or, you know, even the almost the facts of the pro-life debate, which are obviously very important, you know, because the facts and truth are obviously on our side. But to share, you know, personal stories that offer, you know, hope and encouragement about, you know, kids like Bella and kids like her Gunner, you know, that doctor said, you know, shouldn't be, you know, compatible with life and are going to live these miserable lives. And, you know, because I think that there's a lot of fear involved often when parents are told they have a diagnosis like that. So we just need to encourage parents like that to say that, you know, there's hope, there's support, you know, these kids are wonderful gifts. So that was my message to them. It was a great crowd. There was about, I think, 2,000 young people there.
Wonderful.
But, I mean, you talk about the pro-life generation. I mean, it was in that room, and it was really alive. You know, kids, you know, we were, you know, everything from praying to dancing to, you know, listening to positive messages. Jason Jones was there, Lila Rose, you know, Josh Duggar. That was just even the couple hours, you know, I was there in the evening. We had a Patriot Voices table there, and, you know, lots of interest from young people, and they really loved the message, and, well, I think are excited to read the book. So that was a little bit of my evening.
That is awesome. You mentioned the new book coming out, Bella's Gift. Tell us a little bit about what your role was with the book and writing it with your mom and dad.
Sure. Well, when we were looking to write the book, we knew that, you know, my parents are very busy people, and so they, you know, they were looking to really kind of get someone involved to kind of help with the process of telling these stories, right? I know, you know, for both my parents, it's a deeply personal story, so sharing it was, you know, it wasn't always easy, you know, because, I mean, as I think people will see when they read the book, that at moments it's, you know, incredibly raw, and, you know, they're really kind of showing, you know, their own vulnerabilities, because, you know, it wasn't always easy, right? And, you know, but part of the greatness, I think, of her story is that, you know, we were scared, we were afraid when, you know, she was born. We didn't know what to think, you know, we were in this kind of paradox almost that, you know, we were welcoming the birth of this beautiful new little girl, and also doctors were telling us to begin to mourn her death. It was strange. And so the book really highlights those moments. But I think my job was to try and translate a lot of what was most painful to recall and to write it, you know. So I co-authored it with them. I helped them to share the stories that were often, you know, difficult to translate. And so often it's just ended up us around the kitchen table, you know, talking about the stories, about how we wanted to, you know, which stories to share, you know, what, you know, what would kind of give the best window into her life and how she's, you know, transformed not only our family, but a lot of other families in America, and really shifted the debate, I think, on special needs children. You know, I know after she was sick in the campaign, when we kind of, it was almost the first time that we had, you know, brought Bella's story to the national stage, that I turned on the TV the next day and people were talking about trisomy 18 on the news. So,
right.
I mean, she's an amazing little girl, and she really did, you know, a lot, just not only for our family, but in kind of shifting the debate nationally on, you know, her condition.
Well, we're very excited about the book, and we want to let our listeners know that they can go to bellasgiftbook.com to learn more. It's also available for pre-order at Amazon and, you know, all online stores, and we want to encourage people to do that. Go ahead and pre-order it. This is a book that you need to have, and it's going to be quite inspirational. Elizabeth, tell us a little bit more about you before we say goodbye, a little personal update and some other things that you're focusing in on in the new year.
Sure. Well, now I'm working full-time for Patriot Voices, and I love it. I love it. It's, you know, I've the best boss
Wonderful.
In the world all around. but I, right now, I'm kind of a bit of everything. You know, today I'm, this morning I was doing thank you notes for my mom, and I have a couple errands to run for my dad later, and, you know, doing a little social media, and it's just been, you know, really, really wonderful just to be involved in what, you know, we consider is really kind of a, you know, a family mission with all of us, you know, and it's wonderful to be able to do it full time with them, to, you know, share the message, that we have, you know, we're, you know, pro family, pro worker, and we're excited to, you know, keep sharing that across the country. So it'll be, I think, a good year ahead, lots of exciting things coming up, and doing a little bit of surrogate work on the side. It seems like, I know my parents are always encouraging me to, you know, be able to go and do all these sorts of dinners, you know, if they can't get to one or something conflicts. So I'll hopefully be doing a little bit more of that in the future.
That is awesome. Well, it was great to see you there in D.C. and with your whole family, and we're just all going to keep working together in 2015. It's going to be a great year, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, thank you for joining us, and as always, God bless.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you. Special thanks to Elizabeth Santorum. It's awesome that she's working with Patriot Voices full-time now, and we're very excited about Bella's gift book. Bellasgiftbook.com. This is a story that is really going to touch a lot of people. And as Elizabeth shared, it has helped kind of refocus, you know, towards special needs. And it's an important message, and one that we want to get behind. So go ahead and pre-order that, Bellasgiftbook.com or Amazon or any other online bookstore. We have a winner in our promotion here. It is Sarah from Iowa. She is going to win a signed copy of Bella's Gift, the new book coming out February 10th. And there's still time to get in on this next drawing during the show, during live. All you have to do is join the Facebook radio event at the Patriot Voices Facebook site, and you're automatically entered. So if you're already done that, you're in the drawing. But if you haven't yet, go ahead there and enter. We're going to have some more winners later on in the show. As I mentioned at the top of the show here, Senator Santorum is ending up a five-day trip to Iowa, and we were able to get an interview with him pre-taped in between stops yesterday, and so we're going to share that with you now, Senator Rick Santorum. It's a great privilege to have Senator Rick Santorum with us today. Senator Santorum, I know you're in Iowa today, and you've been having a busy schedule. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's great to be back in Iowa. Folks have been very, very receptive and encouraging, and it's been a great week, to be very honest with you. Since last we talked, you know, we bonded during some cold times at the March for Life. Thank you so much for all you did and helping us in so many ways, in not just the Patriot Voices here on the radio, but in so many other ways. Dan, you've just been awesome. March for Life was just a terrific, great event. And
yes.
as you chronicled with your photos, we met hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. There were almost 500,000 people there. It was so exciting to be there, and the weather was cold, but certainly not as cold as it was in the past. And we had a chance to really because it took about 4 hours. It really was a wonderful time just to meet, chat with folks. I got an opportunity to really get a have some great conversations with people, be encouraged by all the wonderful things that are going on with the movement. So thank you for being there for that. And Iowa's been equally as encouraging, just going around the state. I've been to the starting in the center part of the state, headed west, crisscrossed to the east, and now back in the central part of the state.
Well, I know you're in Iowa talking a lot about how Republicans need to be fighting for the American worker. Tell us how receptive people are to that message.
You know, yesterday I gave a talk at Davenport and to a Lincoln Club group, and that's a group that is the donors of the Republican Party, and I laid out that message very, very clearly to them. It's in many respects not talking to them as folks who were the target of the message, but the reaction was just phenomenal. People were very...
That's great.
Were nodding their heads and saying, boy, this makes a lot of sense. You're right, this is where our party needs to go, this is where our country needs to go, and they were very, very excited about the message. Hopefully, we'll get them excited about the messenger along with it.
Absolutely. I know you had an opportunity to speak at the Iowa Freedom Summit over the weekend, and you said we need to be pro-growth and pro-worker. What do you mean by that?
That's really affirming what the Republican Party has stood for and continues to stand for. I think that's really important to understand that the growth message is the most important message. It is a message that says that we have to create economic growth and jobs and have government have a more limited role and a better role, more responsible role in interacting with the economy. We need to have less taxes. We have to look at our regulations. All of those things that Republicans have talked about in the past, sports and businesses and entrepreneurs, all of that is true. It's just insufficient as a message because we need to focus also on making sure that everyone is thriving. Everyone at least has the opportunity to thrive, right? So we're not making sure everybody thrives because then you get into that whole redistribution thing. But if we make sure that everybody has the opportunity to thrive, and that means we have to look at where the problems are, why people are not thriving, and we have to address those. Everything from education. I talked a lot about why, as I travel to Iowa, that we don't need common core, we need common sense. But common sense tells us that we need more parental involvement in education, and Common Core is the opposite of that. So that's a message. A message on manufacturing, which I referred to our time back in Weingart, out in Burlington, Iowa, where we announced that plan and how important it is for us to focus on making our manufacturers competitive in the international environment, not just the environment here in America, but also how we can compete against China and Europe and other places around the world. So that message... I think we got it across, and I added one part that was somewhat, I guess, new. That for me, looking at wages over the past 4 or 5 years, really since the last election, it just dawned on me that wages are stagnating, and median income is now going down, and I could understand wage stagnation 2-3 years after a recession. That's normal.
Right.
But for it to continue for this long, you have to start looking at some of these root causes, and one of them is immigration, and certainly illegal immigration is part of it, and certainly the folks that President Obama has given amnesty to will add to this problem. But we have another problem, which is illegal immigration. And we have the largest number of legal immigrants, but people who are not born in this country, than at any time in the history of the country. And it's having the impact because most of these workers that are coming in, according to our immigration system today, are unskilled workers competing for a job market which is not growing, and that is the unskilled worker job. And so what's happening is you're seeing wages stagnate. What's happening is you're seeing median income go down because of this competition, and that's not good for the American workers. So I'm not saying end legal immigration. What I'm saying is we have to dial it back, both in quantity and quality, if you will, quality of the work, of the skills, to fit what America needs right now. That's what an immigration policy should be about. It's not anti-immigrant anymore then it's anti-American because immigrants in this country are suffering too from having too much competition entering into the country.
Well, speaking of jobs, the Keystone Pipeline is something that you certainly support, and that would create more jobs. It only needs four more votes to pass the Senate. How likely is it to make it to the president's desk?
I feel pretty comfortable that it will get to the United States through the United States Senate. And the reason I do is because you have Democrats who are in energy states that will find this to be a free vote because the president said he's going to veto it, so they can vote for it and not have it happen.
Right.
And so those are termed in the world of the legislature as freebies. And I think that's unfortunate. I would really hope that we could get the number of votes to override the president's veto. I think we need to continue to make that effort, make the point that there really isn't a legitimate environmental reason to oppose this legislation, and hopefully we will be able to go out there and make that case. They have to, you know, bring it up and give it a whirl.
You know, President Obama talked about Keystone in his State of the Union address, and he said we need a bigger strategy than just the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, that may sound like a good idea as a talking point, and maybe it's a way that he's kind of getting around greenlighting the pipeline. But, you know, I remember when he was talking about being all for shovel-ready projects. Is it hypocritical of him to look for something bigger when Keystone is ready to go now?
It's a huge project. It's for a lot of people, not just in the construction, but all of the materials they've paid for. This is critical to the Bakken. The Bakken right now, which is North Dakota, is struggling because they're getting, you know, you hear about the world price of oil being $50. With the Bakken, they're getting 32 or 35, and they're going under. They're shutting wells because they can't get their oil to market in an economical way. They have to train it and put it on a train. This is just untenable for an area of the country that was booming a year ago. Now it's hitting a bust cycle, and the reason is that when oil was $112 a barrel, well, you could take $100 a barrel and still do well, but when it's 50 or 48, you get, you know, 35, then that margin is the difference between life and death for a lot of these wells, a lot of these producers. So it's important to do the president's idea of a big strategy. He doesn't have one. I mean, it's great to talk about it. He doesn't have one. It's certainly not solar energy they've tried this, picking winners and losers, and it hasn't worked out very well. And we need to take natural advantages that we have, the technology that we have, and apply it and look at the impact. You have present numbers. This is really sort of funny to look at. You have the present numbers at highest levels they've been in years, and the reason is because of lower gas prices, which
right.
You've done everything you could to make sure that we're staying high. So he's getting the benefit of something he's against, and yet he'll go out and talk about how great it is and lower prices are lower, when he's doing everything in his power to keep them up.
Unbelievable. Senator, I want to ask you a little bit about foreign policy. You were on CNN on Sunday, and you were asked about who has the most experience on foreign policy and economic issues. You talked a little bit about your foreign policy record in the Senate. Can you share a little bit more about that for our Patriot Voices listeners?
Well, I served in the United States Senate for 12 years. The first 8 of those 12 years I served on the Armed Services Committee. It was the time prior to 9/11. It was 1995 through 2002. And during that time, I chaired two different subcommittees, one on research and technology and acquisition policy. And what's that mean? That's obviously research and development technology. Everybody knows what that is. But acquisition policy is how the military acquires not just technology, but acquires weapons systems, acquires toilet paper and everything else. So our acquisition policy has always been a very, very sore point. We pushed through some acquisition reforms when I was on that subcommittee because we need a lot more acquisition reforms to make sure the Pentagon does a better job, a more efficient job, and a more timely job being able to get products, use off-the-shelf technology. I spent four years on what was called the Air Land Subcommittee. Air Land Subcommittee, we were responsible for authorizing all of the air assets of the Army, Air Force, and Navy, and all of the, including Marines, and all of the, ground assets, the tanks, the Humvees, the MRAPs, all of those, as well as artillery pieces, et cetera. So we were involved in pretty much everything but naval and naval shipbuilding, and did that for 4 years. Were responsible for trying to, we killed a lot of programs, a lot of big, heavy heavy platforms, weapon systems that were designed for a Cold War, not for a Cold War campaign, not for what I saw back in, and not just me, but many others on the committee, including my ranking member, the Democrat who I served with, Joe Lieberman, and Joe and I saw the same vision. We got all the briefings about the next new threat being terrorism. We called it at the time asymmetric threats, but we started to design, prior to 9/11, a Army in particular and a Marine Corps that would be more responsive to this type of new threat. So that's the background on armed services. I got very, very involved in after 9/11 on radical Islam. I went to school. I'll be very honest with you. I was not aware of world history in the detail that I needed to be, looking at the threats from the struggle between East and West, the Muslim world and the Christendom over the centuries. Did a lot of history, did a lot of understanding of where this Al-Qaeda came from, the Muslim Brotherhood on up. We did lots of hearings, talked to a lot of smart people and in those hearings and in those briefings. And from that point on, really took a keen interest in the Middle East and the role that particularly Iran was playing in the Middle East. So it's important to understand that this experience comes not just through the briefings, but through the hearings, through understanding the history, but then living that history, being involved in the
right.
And understanding how as you fight the war and as you engage, in this case, radical Islam, you have then a track record of seeing, you know, what you've tried and what failed, not from the standpoint of an onlooker who might read a newspaper article, but someone who was deeply involved in it. And that experience is very, very important, and particularly the campaign where if we end up running and Hillary Clinton ends up running and she gets the nomination, it would be really helpful to have someone at a national security debate have the confidence to be able to confront someone who is very deep in national security. And I know that having been on a stage and been in debates and been in just conversations, frankly, and we all do it, if you're in a conversation with someone who knows the subject area better than you do, and you haven't lived it, they have, you're probably going to be reticent to go up and challenge that person when they make statements. That's really a big risk going into the 2016 campaign, is having someone who's not prepared to take on this very important issue that the American public is now much more focused on.
Well, it seems that our current president kind of underestimates the continual threat, as you mentioned, across the world, in not even calling it Islamic terrorism, but maybe extreme violence. And in our popular culture, I mean, even Tom Brady said the other day about the deflated footballs. He said, well, this isn't ISIS. It just seems to trivialize it. I mean, is there a disconnect, perhaps, in the American culture of how real a threat there is out there?
I think the American public is much more in tune with the threat than the President of the United States.
Okay.
I look at the polls and see that people are worried and legitimately concerned about ISIS. They want us to do something about this terrorist, these Islamic terrorists. They're not afraid to identify that they are so informed, the enemy, but there is, as you alluded to, a large segment of the population that's not there yet, and they're unfortunately those who listen to the president on a regular basis, because he tells them not to be concerned about it. He tells them it has nothing to do with Islam. He tells them it has nothing to do with terrorists.
That's
and
true.
This is why you have part of the reason you have such a division, because you have folks who are using their common sense and reading the news and listening to what's going on. Then you have folks who just listen to what they're being told, as opposed to understanding the complexity of the of the threat that we had before.
Of course, that's one important role of Patriot Voices, isn't it, to continue to get the word out and inform people and tell them the truth.
Patriot Voices has been great on this issue, and I'm so proud of the work that we've done on a lot of areas, but this area is increasingly critical for the American public to understand, and I think we've been disseminating information and standing for things that direct people to the truth, direct people to the sources of why I'm concerned about this threat, this ISIS threat, this Iranian threat, this threat from all these other radical Islamic groups. It's at least not just to us, but particularly to our friend Israel. So it's a very important thing that we need to continue to do.
You know, we want to thank all the Patriot Voices members who did come out for the March for Life last Thursday in our nation's capital. There were only over 25 states represented. People came from all across the country. And, Senator, I must say, it was just a joy and a blessing to see you there marching right there with everyone else. And I read an article after the event that was talking about some of the prospective possible presidential candidates, and I think they alluded to the fact that you were the only potential, you know, candidate that actually came to the march and marched in it. But I know that's the kind of convictions you hold, that you're there for the right reason, and you've been consistently there, and no one has had a stronger, consistent, principled stand than you on issues like pro-life, as well as some of the other ones we've talked about in this show.
Well, you know, I go to the March for Life, I'm a marcher. I'm just one of the warriors out there. People have come from a lot farther away and made a lot more sacrifices to come to that march, stand up for life, the culture of life, than I did. And I want to respect their sacrifice and their passion for this issue by being in solidarity with them. I think solidarity is a very important term that we sort of lost here in America. Solidarity of Americans fighting for a cause together, shoulder to shoulder, has always been an important thing. And we didn't raise one above the other. Everyone is equal in this fight, and frankly, can have a huge impact in this fight. And yes, I'm in a position, you get a chance to speak in front of a group of people, or you get to see on TV, that you can have a louder microphone. But those folks who in front of abortion clinics and council and demand the crisis centers and lobby in the legislature and inform with videos and other types of information to get out to the public, they have just as important a role, and that's why I feel like it's appropriate for me to walk with them instead of stand up there as a front row seat.
Well, I know a lot of people really admire that, and you were very accessible, and a lot of people enjoyed talking with you and interacting with you and your wife Karen, and a lot of your children were there. We're going to share later in the show, Senator, some At the March audio interviews we were able to have with a lot of the Patriot Voices members as they shared why they took time out of their schedule to come all the way. So,
well, the other thing is, you mentioned the whole family was there with the exception of Bella, and we're so excited to be there with the whole family. I mean, that was so much fun to spend time with them and to see them and you know, out there engaging people and taking selfies and being part of encouraging the marchers as we went along. So I'm very, very proud of my kids. They're all devoted, convicted on the pro-life cause. Elizabeth spoke to a group, I think Suits for Life, the day after the march, and at one of their gatherings. And so we Karen, of course, has written a book about that years ago, Letters to Gabriel, which is a great pro-life book. And, of course, we've talked about, we have a book coming out in a couple of weeks called Stella's Gift, which is
yes,
a strong pro-life testimony, as you'll guess, that Karen is the principal author of.
Well, it was great to see your family. And as always, I mean, you guys stand together, and we're out there just marching with everyone else. Senator, I know you're on the road there in Iowa and getting to your next event. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to share with us today. You're always in our prayers, And thanks for all you stand for. And we look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Well, thank you. I just want to encourage everybody, as I mentioned, Bella's gift, to go out and get pre-order your copy. We want to have a big splash with this book, and pre-orders are a very, very big part of that. So if you don't mind going online and getting your copy pre-ordered, we very much appreciate that as a little boost to the book.
And people can go to bellasgiftbook.com. So, yes, we definitely want to encourage people to do that.
Or you can go to any of the websites, Amazon, all the other stores, they have them too. So whichever, if you have an account there, you can order it from there too. Any place is fine.
We're all looking forward to it. Thanks again, Senator. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Senator Rick Santorum, during his Iowa trip, we caught him yesterday, and we're going to share a clip from one of his presentations there before the show ends. Before we do that, we have another clip we wanted to share from the March for Life. Josh Duggar was at the Patriot Voices breakfast from the FRC Council, and he is very passionate about pro-life. Of course, his family is the Duggar family from the show, the TLC show, 19 and Counting. So we had a chance to interview Josh as he was marching along with his family and the Patriot Voices members in D.C. last Thursday.
I'm marching for life with Josh Duggar and his family here in the nation's capital. Josh, why is this important for you and your family today?
Well, you know, Dan, I think there's it's important that people are willing to take a stand for what they believe. And when you look at what our founders set out, they talked about how important life was to everything that we believe. And I think year after year, as I see the march and I participate, I'm reminded constantly of the importance that we have. I mean, you know, God has given us all a choice to stand up for what's right or to allow evil to prevail. And I think our founders knew that too, and they wanted to make sure that they set up a country that was built on the premise of life. And so we've got to make sure that we're willing to speak up. I'm encouraged with Congress and the leadership there that have taken a bold stand to say they want to support pro-life legislation. I'm encouraged to see that they're going to continue to move that forward. We're going to see some really positive results. Now is the time to end abortion in America, not just in America. We'll send a clear signal around the world.
Really appreciate your comments at the Patriot Voices breakfast this morning. How important is it that we all come together and continue this fight?
Well, Patriot Voices is doing some great work, and I can't encourage people enough to go to the website, make sure they sign up for the emails, that you stay informed. This is really what this is all about. When we are informed, we know right from wrong. And the scriptures are very clear about this. If you don't have knowledge, you don't have wisdom. You don't have the ability to go out and to make informed decisions. That's what we have to do. We have to be smart about this. The other side for far too long has led when it comes to education, when it comes to encouraging people to get involved. Now it's our time. It's our time to go out and to stand boldly, to speak loudly. You know, we're living in a very dark world, but there is never, when darkness prevails, there's never a brighter time for light to shine.
Amen. Can you just share also about your work at the Family Research Council?
Well, FRC Action, as most people know, is a 30-year-old organization started by James Dobson and Gary Bauer, focused on the family. And over the years, our focus has really been to uphold faith, family, and freedom across America. We're working with members of Congress on key and important issues. One of our really central issues is religious liberty, and that, of course, intersects with the value of human life, the sanctity of marriage, the issues that most Americans care about. You know, the families that are out there struggling to make ends meet, tax reform, making sure we're standing up for strong national security. We've got to make sure that we're continuing to uphold these issues, and that's what we're doing at Family Research Council, is making sure that those issues are in the public discourse, and that we're sending that information out to our thousands of members, hundreds of thousands of members around the nation who are bold and willing to be courageous.
Thank you, Josh. God bless you and your family.
Thanks so much, Dan.
It was great to hear from Josh Duggar, who was at the Patriot Voices breakfast and right there marching along with everyone else in Washington, D.C. We mentioned that Senator Santorum, then after that, has been in Iowa, and he spoke at the Iowa Freedom Summit. And we talked a little bit before with the executive director of Patriot Voices, Nadine Maenza, about Common Core. This is an important issue, and as she mentioned, Senator Santorum and Patriot Voices was one of the first organizations who really put a spotlight on this earlier last year. And now people are starting to see the truth. And as Josh just mentioned, we just need to continue to inform people, and the truth will be there. We'd like to share a little bit from Senator Santorum's speech from the Iowa Freedom Summit, where he spoke about Common Core.
We have to be the party that says, we understand what you're feeling, we understand what you're thinking, we understand the problems, and put forth a message that targets specifically not how we can help the economy, but how we can help you and you and you. And we need to do it in a way that isn't divisive, but it's unifying. How do we do this? It's actually pretty easy. It's actually pretty easy. First, it starts with education. If you look at the 70% of Americans who don't have a college education have limited skills. We need to make sure that we have opportunities for people to get those skills. We also need to look at why people are failing in schools and not getting those basic skills to be able to survive. Why? Because we have a top-down, government-run education system that is failing our children. We need less Common Core and more common sense if we're going to make America a great and educated country. What's the common sense? Talk to any teacher, any administrator, they'll tell you the same thing. They'll tell you that the biggest key in determining the success of a child in school is the parent's involvement with that child in the school. So what does Common Core say? Stay out, parents. We got this. The federal, the state, whatever it is, the folks, the elites, we're going to determine what's best for your child. When the schools and the elites should be saying, we're failing, and we need you parents to come in because we know by having you here, your child's going to do better. The elites are doing just the opposite. We can fix. Look, Karen and I homeschooled our children. Is it hard? Well, thank you. Thank her, not me. Thank her. Was it harder? Sure. It's harder. Oh, but what a blessing to be intimately involved in your children's education. That's the challenge. The path that we're going to lay forward here is not going to be easy, but it's going to be one that makes sense. It makes sense that we need to restore and rebuild the American family.
Some great remarks from Senator Rick Santorum at the Iowa Freedom Summit. He makes a lot of common sense, and we want to continue to get behind Common Core as far as letting people know that this is not a good idea, because, as he said, it's the government down to the people. And what makes a lot more sense is getting families and restoring and really supporting the American family. We want to close the show here by bringing on Shelley Ollersmeyer. She's our National Grassroots Director. Shelley, great to have you on the show today.
Thanks, Dan. It's been really great to hear the Senator's voice and hear Nadine talk about what Patriot Voices is doing, and really all the things that you've played about the March for Life is, again, an encouragement, I think, to those who went and those who were not able to go and maybe participated in an activity locally. But I wanted to sort of mention, the Senator talked about solidarity and it's, you know, the importance of standing shoulder to shoulder. And I think that is a really key thing to why Patriot Voices, why they started Patriot Voices and why we've continued to grow. I think it is so important for people to feel like they're standing with others and not all alone. So I wanted to be sure and point that out. And I have a few things I wanted to kind of wrap up the show and make sure people had a little bit of some, you know, details about. First, I think we mentioned in the past CPAC, so I wanted to get that date on people's calendar. That's February 25th through the 28th. Senator Santorum will be speaking. Patriot Voices will have some activity there. So that's a great gathering of conservatives from all over the country. So folks who maybe weren't able to get to D.C. for March for Life, maybe they're able to join us for that. And, of course, anything that I mentioned, if people want more information, They're welcome to email me, Shelley@patriotvoices.com, and I'll get you the information you need. The second thing I wanted to mention, we've touched a little bit on Bella's Gift, the book that Rick and Karen and Elizabeth have coming out on February 10th. During that first book launch week, they are going to be doing four book signings, one each day, three in Pennsylvania and one in New York. They will be adding more, you know, in other locations down the road. But you can find out about those book signings at bellasgiftbook.com and click on events. That's a great way for you to show support for the book and you know, go get your signed copy. So we really encourage, if you live in any of those areas, to go and help us spread the word about it. The other thing that folks can do is especially important to Rick and Karen, is to raise awareness about special needs children in the medical community, because many parents are being told their children, you know, may not be, you know, perfect when they're in the womb, and then they're being encouraged to have an abortion. And so Rick and Karen really want to get the book into the hands of doctors, people that are teaching at medical hospitals, and to really show the value of each and every life. So if you can get a copy of the book and give it to a doctor in your community, that would certainly be great. We also have coming up on February 4th, we have the FRC simulcast. That's one generation away. And what we're really asking people to do is recruit a church in your community. You know, go to a church that, you know, maybe could show this movie and see if they wouldn't be interested in being a host church. And, of course, One Generation Away, we've talked about it many times. It's a film put out by Echo Light Studios, and it talks about, you know, again, raising awareness for the fact that religious liberty is really being attacked here in this country. Couple more things. We took a lot of, Dan, you took a lot of photos at the March for Life last week, and they were just awesome. And we're uploading them. They're in the process of uploading today on the Patriot Voices Facebook page. A lot of good shots. So if folks want to go there who were at the march and see if they can't find some of themselves, or those who weren't able to go, it is, again, a great way to just get an idea of what was going on. And then our last sweatshirt, we have another sweatshirt winner, Paul from Illinois. He joined our Facebook event on Patriot Voices page, and he has won a Patriot Voices sweatshirt.
Fantastic. Congratulations to Paul. And, Shelley, it was just wonderful to be there in D.C. with you and all the other Patriot Voices staff and, of course, all the other Patriot Voices members. And what a great time. And I wanted to share one last audio clip from Carrie Pemberton. And I know you work very closely with Carrie as part of the Patriot Voices staff. She's the Deputy Grassroots Director. So here, as Carrie was walking along, we just got her impressions of the day. I'd like to just share here.
I'm marching with Carrie Pemberton, our grassroots worker here with Patriot Voices. What does this mean to you to see all these Patriot Voices members marching with the banner and the Santorum family today?
It's so encouraging to know that we're not alone. You know, the mainstream media would tell us that this is not such a big deal, that maybe what we're doing is not important, doesn't matter, but it really does, and it's wonderful to be around others who support life from the moment of conception till the moment of natural death. So it's very encouraging. I encourage everybody who can to make it here next year and to keep fighting all year long for those that don't have a voice.
Very exciting to see so many people here for this cause and come up to the Patriot Voices banner and express interest in getting involved, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, so many people think, well, I don't have much time to offer, so what can I possibly do? But we make it very easy for folks to weigh in with just 2 or 3 minutes' time with our online petitions or other methods of interacting on our social media. So we make it easy, and it is very exciting, especially to see all the young people getting involved.
Thank you for all you do, Karen.
Oh, thank you, Dan. Next week's show.
That's a great kind of review, Shelley. There's lots of ways that people can plug in. And Patriot Voices, the leadership and membership is really growing here with a little surge at the beginning of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We're really fortunate. We have a lot of great people who are reaching out, excuse me, and recruiting other folks. We have over 1,700 local leaders, and we're growing every day. So we,
awesome.
Again, as Carrie said, you know, it doesn't take much time. It's just, you know, getting connected with us and you know, raising your hand.
Well, as always, Shelley, it's great to hear from you and all the other leaders and Center Santorum and Elizabeth today and Nadine. Thanks for everyone who took part. We are here the second and fourth Tuesdays each month live. Remember that Patriot Voices Radio is also available an archive, on-demand podcast. So you can go to patriotvoices.com/radio. That's with a small R. And we're now available on iTunes. So just search us for us there. And I know you like to listen to Patriot Voices on iTunes a little bit on your iPhone, don't you, Shelly?
I do. When I go to work out,
yeah.
I listen to it. It's a great way to stay connected.
There you go. And, of course, thanks for sharing all the websites, patriotvoices.com, and check out Patriot Voices on Facebook and Twitter as well. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.